I've got a scripture up here that I want you to look at because I think it's really appropriate for what we are doing. And that is just the simple verse from Psalm 74 that says, "Let God be magnified." You know, we're taking a few minutes here and we're looking at what God did in the lives of these kids and how they've grown up and how they've studied and worked and they've completed their high school education or college education. And it is real easy for us as human beings to say, "To God be the glory," but not really give the glory to God. For us to magnify everything besides God's real involvement in our lives. And the effort and our cooperation with God, it is very important. And the things that we do to make the most of the gifts and the talents and the opportunities that God gives us, that's very important. But the fact is that God is the one who gives everything to us. He's the one who sustains us. He's the one who made us able to experience everything that we experience. And without Him in our lives giving us the next breath, we wouldn't experience anything. I want everybody to just take one deep breath. Do you realize God gave you that breath? He's appointed a time for you to live. He's given you so many breaths, so many heartbeats, so many minutes, and so many hours. It's a gift that we have from Him, and that's all we have. And without Him, we don't get that gift. So I'm going to talk to the graduates, but I'm moving the graduates off that picture because this really is the same thing that all of us need to hear. We need to let God be magnified. You know, I had an example of that not too long ago with Blanche, and you guys remember last week. No one could forget Blanche at 100 years old coming here last week, right? So everybody's, I don't have to refresh your memory who she is. And so Blanche, you know, she's 100 years old. She's getting older. And we went through a time where Blanche couldn't hear. And, you know, so I would have to speak really, really loudly. And she'd come in and she'd have the TV on. I mean, you know, she's got it up to the highest volume and she can't barely hear. And everything, it was just not focusing in on those eardrums. And she was not able to hear. And had tried hearing aids, tried all kinds of things. Nothing worked. And then she went to, I guess it must have been the old country doctor. Because you know what he said? "You got wax in your ears." And so he flushed the wax out, and she goes, "It's a miracle. I can hear, I can hear." And it just a little thing that she was trying all these difficult things to be able to get her hearing back with nothing. Then some little thing that really should have been obvious cleared everything up. Her eyesight also is not getting so good. And this last year, she got to where it was so bad she could not read. And that's a big deal to Blanche because she wants to read that Bible. And so she was always talking about it and stuff. And so I thought, well, I'm going to get her for Christmas. I'm going to get her something that she can read her Bible. So I thought, well, I'll get a DVD. Well, of course, she didn't have a DVD player, so I had to get her a DVD player. Then I got her a set of DVDs that put it up on the television. And it's big, but it wasn't big enough for her. And so I had sound going with it, and that didn't work. And so then I thought, well, maybe I'll get her a magnifying glass. So I bought her a magnifying glass. And, you know, she had that magnifying glass, and it was like, you remember her from last year. You know what she said? "Oh, boy." She's like, "Oh, this is the greatest thing in the world." She is so happy. She goes through, "I can read my Bible again." And so then I went into the Lifeway bookstore, and I saw, and I should have started with this because it cost me $3.95. But they got a sheet of plastic that's a magnifying. How many of you have seen those before? And so she can put it in here with her Bible and carry it. She doesn't have the big magnifying glass that she puts it. She just lifts it up and she can read. It's just a little thing. But the thing is if those words are not in focus, they don't do her any good. It's got to be magnified for her to get her attention on and see those words. And as she's memorized and talked about and been in Bible studies, and she's known the word for 99 years. But you know, you spend a year where you're not able to pick it up and read. She felt a loss. And so magnifying things is just bringing it into focus. And we need to magnify the Lord. You know, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, most of the time, what we really magnify and focus in on clearly is not God and His greatness and His ability to control, really, the universe. Even the existence of the universe is subject to His word. He can speak and we're gone. He speaks and things can be created. The big obstacles of circumstances in our lives, which we magnify so much, God can move and change those depending on His will in a moment. People and things and even ourselves, oftentimes, you know, we graduate from high school, a lot of times we say, Cassie, you spent so many hours studying, you worked so hard, you, and she's going, yes, I did, and she did, and that's great, as long as it doesn't overshadow the truth, that everything you're experiencing is a gift because of the grace and the love of God. I want to just give you one little example of this, and I'm not quite where Blanche is, but I do have to have these. Most of you remember the story of Mary. And she's not 100 years old, but she's younger than you guys who just graduated. She's about 12 or 13. And all of a sudden, the angel appears to her, and he says, everything that has been building for all of mankind, the deliverance of mankind, the Christ, the Savior, is fixing to be born, and the person God's going to entrust this treasure that will redeem all of humanity with is you. That's a pretty big deal. I mean, graduating from college and high school is a big deal, but being the person who is going to be responsible not just for the birth, but for the upbringing of the Messiah that will save the world, that's a pretty big deal. And let me tell you something. There's some reasons why God chose Mary, and it becomes evident as we come through even in this conversation. God chose Mary because she had certain character traits that she had worked to develop. And so Mary really, probably spiritually, stood way above her peers. She had achieved a relationship with God that we're going to see in the words that she speaks that probably most other people did not have. It would have been a good time to magnify herself and say, man, all of that time that I spent memorizing and meditating on God's word and seeking Him in prayer, all of that time that I spent trying to really be connected and devoted to God, it was worth it all. I have really achieved my goal of being a person God can trust. That's a worthy goal. But it would have been easy for her to magnify herself, magnify her teachers, magnify her parents. And all of that credit is due. Because if Mary wasn't who she was, God would have picked someone else. But He picked her because of who she was. But that fact of who she is doesn't overshadow the fact that she is part of His plan. And she's the way He is because He gave her that life and He sent those nurturing things into her life. And she responded and became who He created her to be. But without Him, she wouldn't even be there. And so she responds like this, and it's interesting how this news comes, and because she knew God's word, she could see her life in context of the promise of God being fulfilled. It wasn't like He came and said, hey, you're going to get pregnant, you're going to have a child, and she's going, what, are you kidding me? How is this going to, you know, she knew exactly what God was doing because she understood that He was speaking the fulfillment of His promises in her life. She was seeing the words of God become real and flesh right before her eyes. She was seeing God's promises come true, and she recognized them because she knew God's promises. And it's interesting that as she knew who God was and knew his words and knew his plans and saw herself as a part of it, the first thing she does is turn attention off herself. Isn't that interesting? Because a lot of times if we don't see God, we turn the attention on ourselves or on the problem or on someone else. But the first place that our attention needs to be turned is God. Here's what she says. And Mary said, my soul glorifies, or some translations say magnify. Glorify means shows the greatness of. My soul glorifies the Lord. So, hey, here's all this thing coming. You're going to be the most famous person ever, woman ever. Who? And she goes, hey, whoa, wait a second now. I want to put focus and attention on God, on everything that's happening right here. And she continues and says, my spirit rejoices in what? That she's picked? That she's going to have a son that's going to be known for ages? That her family is now going to be part of the royal family? My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. Some translations say maidservant. Some say handmaid, which gives the indication that what she's saying is this. I am a person who is right there at the hand, beckoning call of my master, who is the Lord. And when I see he's got a need, I'm right there to pull the covers back or hand the cup of coffee or pour the water into the glass. I am a handmaid. I am right there to serve him at the beckoning call of his hand. That's how I see myself. And I rejoice in him because as I have seen myself as his servant, he has not treated me as a servant. He has treated me as a child. He has adopted me into his family. He has treated me with love and with kindness. And we have all seen stories and heard stories through histories of kings who had servants that they loved like family. Some of them even adopted them into their family. And they weren't treated as a servant. They weren't treated as a tool. They weren't treated as an object. They were treated with love. And she recognizes that and she says, I am rejoicing in my Savior for what he has done for me. And I am mindful of who I am and who he is. From now on, all generations will call me what? Blessed. She recognizes what God's doing, but she recognizes it's not all about her, it's all about him. And she knows exactly what's happening, and because of what is happening here, she knows God has elevated her to a place that 2,000 years later, we're talking about her. That's a big deal that God has given her. But she realizes that she is a part of God's eternal work. And it is God and his plan and his eternal work that is so fantastic. She is just grateful to be a small part of that. And she doesn't look to overshadow all that God is and all that God is doing by her part, no matter how great it really is. And it is great. And the reason God gives her that great part is because she reacts like this. And she goes on from that and she says, for the mighty one has done great things for me. His name is holy. Holy is his name. That's the kind of attitude we need to have all the time. That's the kind of attitude we have where God works. And the rest of this song goes on. And what it really is that her heart is full of God's word. She can recognize God's hand because she knows what he's doing. When God does something, then all of a sudden in her heart, those words come up. And she says, well, this is exactly what God is doing. And it evokes a pouring of praise. God, your word is fulfilled in me. Your promises are true. What you say will happen, I can trust. I don't need to fear. I don't need to worry. You have said that you love me. You have said that you will sustain me. You have said you'll provide for me. You have said that you will put purpose into my life. You have done all those things. You have done mighty things for me. You are great. When we have that attitude, you know what happens? When we magnify God like that first in our heart, God can do things in our lives he can't do when we don't do that. And God magnifies himself through our life. And we do have an eternal purpose. And generations later, the impact of our lives is still there. And that's what I pray for each one of you as you graduate. You can achieve many great things, but if they're not eternal things, they will soon be forgotten. You can magnify yourself. You can magnify the opportunities God gives you. You can magnify other people. You can magnify all kinds of things. But if you don't open your life up to a place where you are humble, recognizing your life is to glorify and magnify him, and because of that, he brings you into his hands and uses you, and what you do becomes part of what he is. And what you do becomes an eternal part of the work and plan of God. Then our lives never have the meaning or the joy or the connection with God that Mary's did. Mary experienced that at 12 years old, maybe 13. That's amazing, isn't it? I want to experience that. I want a clean, humble heart before God that magnifies how great he is, because that wipes away all the fear, all the worry, all the tension, all the turmoil out of my life. Because when I see how great God is and know he's in control of my life, mapping it out, I don't have any worries. I want to see that for myself first. And then because of that, I know that I will see that in my life as it plays out on this earth. Well, let's take just a moment and let's pray. Father, you are great. We don't even come close to understanding how great you really are. If we understood how powerful and how all-knowing and how wise you are, we would never worry about a thing. The only thing we would worry about is that knowing that we were at your feet following you and your beck and call. All your plans for us are good. All your plans for us are redemptive. All your plans for us have a great future and a great hope and are beyond what we could ever hope or dare to ask or even imagine. You have demonstrated your great love for us, sending your only Son to die for us on the cross to pay the penalty of our sins, that we might freely be able to come and enter into your presence, forgiven, made righteous, with a fresh, clean start, to live with you as your child. No one loves us like that. No one has the ability to see into the future and to direct our lives but you. We are your children, we are your servants, and you are our God. And we ask you to open our hearts, forgive us of our sins, cleanse our hearts of anything that would separate us from you. And allow us to follow you and let your Holy Spirit lead us to become all you want us to be and to experience your mighty hand in our lives as Mary did. We thank you and we love you. And we ask you to help us to grow in that love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.